This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world, the Washington Capitals. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we are in the Stanley Cup playoffs, three games into the opening round. The Caps lead the Hurricanes 2-1, but man, what a game three to talk about. We got TK Ovechkin, and then we also have a bunch of Capitol players chilling out on the ice, drinking smoothies. Nobody's really putting in any work.
I want a smoothie.
Right?
I like smoothies.
I know. So joining me, as always, talk all about this playoff hookie is Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing better than the Caps were last night, let me tell you.
That's true. So we have three games to talk about, all against Carolina. The Caps were able to come away with two wins, one loss. I think we're going to probably primarily talk about game three. But before we get into that, I do want to bring up game two, overtime. Brooks freaking Orpik is the guy to get the game-winning goal. I thought the Hurricanes are going to hang it up at that point. If you got Brooks Orpik scoring on you, your time is done.
It should be an automatic. You lose the series if Orpik scores on you.
But what a game winning goal. Could you believe that? I was in the car listening to John Walton, give me some play by play, but of all people, game winning goal in overtime, Brooks Orpik. I mean, that was pretty shocking.
I was up in Pennsylvania listening to the game on the radio. And I hear him yell score, and I'm like, all right. And then I hear it's Orpik, and I was like, oh, wait, what?
How?
did he know he was shooting? Was he trying to check the puck, and it went in the net? Like, how did that occur? But look, everybody's got to step up at some point offensively, and I guess game two was Orpik's night to do so, or day, because that was a day game.
He had a goal against Vegas, didn't he, in the last Stanley Cup playoffs? I feel like he did. It wasn't the game-winning goal, but I feel as if he scored a goal last playoffs.
I can't remember. Yeah. I don't know if it was against Vegas or who it was against, but I feel like I do remember Orpik scoring, and I probably made the same dumb checking the puck joke. But, yeah, that sounds about right.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Game 3. What do you want to start off with? You want to talk about fighting, or do you want to talk about where the rest of the team was?
I mean, we could talk about the team in a minute. I mean, even Game 3 in a minute, but I kind of felt like the things that they didn't do so well in Games 1 and 2, because they had moments where they looked very much like the team in Game 3 in Games 1 and 2, and I think it just kind of carried over, and then you combine that with Carolina and having that huge backing from their fan base after having their first home playoff game in something along the lines of, was it 10 years?
10 years, yeah,
10 years. So I think all of that combined, like, you knew they were going to come out strong. And I think I tweeted every time that there's a home or an away playoff game for the Capitals. First 10 minutes, the guy was down the first 10 minutes, that big push. And they almost did. I think Carolina scored their first goal at like 10 minutes and 2 seconds left in the first or something along those lines. I was like, all right, you did a pretty good job. You score one back pretty quickly, and it almost looked like they're going to 1 point. Then you're doing all right. And then after that, they just kind of shut down.
Yeah.
And they became – there was absolutely no physicality from the Capitals. They were just getting beat out of every single puck. They got knocked over every time or knocked away from the puck, I should say. They had – ridiculously low amount of shots to the point where they had one shot, and I'm quoting Major League here. They had one guy, it was in line for Major League, is one guy hit. They had one shot in the entirety of the second period where you're losing. Like, it's not like it's late in the game and you're trying to shut them out from being able to take shots. You're losing. You're the team that needs to take more shots, and you were taking so few shots. And there was a multiple reasons, as I think, as to why they're taking so few shots. One of them is a complete lack of physicality by the Capitals in terms of their inability to control the puck. and just fight for it. And the other one, and I think this almost made me even madder, was the fact that absolutely freaking everybody was trying to make the cute pass, or they're making the behind the back pass, or the no look pass. And it was like, how about you make the pass where you can see the damn guy that you're trying to put the puck to? How about we try that for one time? Because it's not working. They would make the cute pass, and there'd be a Carolina dude sitting there being like, all right, thanks, man. I appreciate that you gave me the puck. I'm not sure why you did that, but thanks so much. You know, and the whole thing was just ridiculous. The play from the game three was very reminiscent of a game that was, you know, mid-November of a team that's brand new and is rebuilding.
Right.
You know, there was a pathetic effort and not one that you would expect from a team in the playoffs, let alone the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Now, we're going to talk about both sides of the puck here. We're going to talk offense. We're going to talk defense. And I think for a team that lost Michael Kempney, you can understand having some defensive woes going.
No, not that much, though, because Kempney was taking playoff after playoff. That makes sense. He was taking penalty after penalty.
Yeah.
The issue last night wasn't penalties. The problem last night was the fact that the Capitals, A, were making terrible passes, B, not taking shots. Everything had to be like the perfect opportunity. When you're down by three or four, just shoot the damn puck on the net. Don't worry. You know what? Look for the garbage goal. That's, look at what they did against Vegas, right? They went down 2-1, 3-2, something like that, right? Smith Pelly, garbage goal. Put the puck on net, went, found it, dove, made a cool looking play, scored a goal. Look at Ehlers. Took a shot, got behind Fleury, but not in the net. Eller crashed in the net, put the puck in the net. Crash the net. Make life difficult for Mrazek. Don't let the other team make life difficult for you. Man up is pretty much what they need to do in game four. Man up. Take shots on net, crash the net, make life difficult, hit somebody, not illegally, because everyone else apparently in all the other games are doing that. Hit someone, be physical, don't be a bunch of babies.
Do you think offensive wise, you're saying, you know, hit somebody, don't
be. What offense?
Don't be a bunch of babies, but. Are we seeing the effects of Tom Wilson kind of.
No.
Not being able to be the player he once was, kind of being scared to make those big hits and not, you know, getting the rest of the team riled up.
Wait, so like,
hold on, make sure I understand like, Wilson is out there.
Wilson goes the levels of dude and he's going to get Carolina fired up.
Right. He's going to get the Caps fired up and he's going to get everybody else being like, look what we can do, blah, blah, blah. And now that he's not that type of player anymore because of his 16-game suspension, are we seeing the team not get as inspired, I guess, of Tom Wilson the way he plays? Is that why they're not as physical as they were last year?
No, because I get if like Wilson was not being as physical, but that doesn't explain why the rest of the goddamn team wasn't being as physical. I mean, they were playing like it was a freaking preseason game.
It was as if this game,
I get it. Carolina came in with all this energy. Not really. They had some momentum just because it was their first home playoff game in 10 years. They had a ton of things going for them. And I think if they had been able to withstand the first 10 minutes or even given up that first goal, but then up their level, up their energy, and actually took it to them and were able to score a goal, that's a very different game going the rest of the way. Because even though they had all that going, they score and the Caps score right back. They're like, oh, crap. Like, they're not going away this easily. But the fact that they basically, when they got scored on, they're like, well, screw it. We'll wait for Thursday's game. Carolina was like, all right. I kind of compare it to, like, it's obviously not a like for like, but I had an indoor soccer game Sunday night, right? And we were able to score pretty early on. We got one or two goals. And we realized that their team just wasn't very good. And they weren't necessarily trying as hard. And we were like, well, screw it. And we just upped our level of play offensively. And we just kept pushing them back until we got a comfortable lead. Carolina essentially did the same thing. I have to imagine. They saw that the Capitals weren't being physical. They saw they weren't taking shots. They saw they're trying to make the cute plays. And they're like, well, screw it. We'll just out-muscle them. And they're going to completely shut down. And that's what we saw last night.
I really do think that that's what it was. If the Caps were to get the first goal last night, I think we're talking about the Capitals could sweep Carolina tonight. That's all I said at work to people yesterday was, if the Cavs can withstand the crowd, they can withstand the hype of getting a playoff game for the first time in 10 years, and they can get that first goal, then this game, they have to dictate the play. Last night, they did not dictate the play in any way. They went down. They went into the hole early. I mean, up until this point last night, Carolina never played with a lead in this series. So they were either tied or they were behind the Caps. So it's insane to think that that one goal can just affect everybody on this team. But that's absolutely what it did. Is that a lack of leadership, or is that just a lack of wanting to play in these games? Because, I mean, look at it a couple of years ago when it was Game 7 against the Penguins, and afterwards the team said, well, we really felt like we had nothing to play for. Well, it's Game 7 against your arch rival, and if you lose, you go home.
You've got something to play for.
Right. So is it a lack of motivation from them? Is it bad coaching? What is going on? Why was Game 3 just a complete and total lack of effort on everybody?
I mean, if I knew the answer to that question, it would have been really easy for them to fix it last night. I don't know. It's tough to say as to whether is it the team. Well, obviously it's the team, but it seems like
it is the team.
Yes, it is the team. Is it the players? Is it the coaching staff? It's tough to say. I think at some point it comes down to the players in terms of their play last night. I don't think it was a game plan or anything that was the issue last night. I think the players just, it's not hard to not have to try and take the cheap ass if you are to play a little more physical. I highly doubt that Todd Rinner went into the locker room and was like, guys, we need to play softer. You know, we're going to try and out skate them or something like that. Because it wasn't working.
At some point, though, I mean, in between periods 2 and 3, the coach has to go into that locker room and go, guys, there's one chance on goal. One shot. That's it.
One.
How is that possible? You are the Stanley Cup champions. You are fighting to get the cup back for your team, for your city, for yourself. And one shot? Come on. Did you give a copy of the playbook to the Carolina Hurricanes so they know exactly what to look for? And here's the other thing that really got on my nerves. One shot on goal, and the Carolina Hurricanes were playing 3 guys down. They only had 10 guys on offense. That's it.
Yeah, they're down 2 forwards. I mean, it's embarrassing the way they played last night. And, you know, Thursday just got a whole lot harder because not only is Carolina coming in with another home playoff game and a lot of momentum, they've got all the momentum. I mean, the best thing for the Capitals to do is come out and score in the first 5 minutes.
They have to.
Or get 2 in the first 10 to 15. Like, you need to go into that first period with a lead because you need Carolina to be thinking a little bit like, uh-oh.
They really need to make this game, game 4, as if it were an elimination game.
Agreed. Like, they need to step up dramatically. They need to make life difficult. You know that Carolina is going to be going after Ovechkin with a couple of extra hits. And I'm sure he can take it. But they need to maintain their composure. They need to make sure that they don't let them get under their skin. And they need to put the puck in the net quickly and early in the game so that you get Carolina back on their heels and thinking a little bit more like, uh-oh, this may not work out the way we thought.
So let's talk about the Ovi fight. So it happened early on in the first period. Ovechkin, depends on who you ask. Some say he initiated the fight.
I don't think so.
I don't either. And I've watched the video a couple times. It looks like, how do you say the player's name? Shvetchnikov? Is that?
Now I can't say it. I had it. And then when you said it weird, I was like, wait, no.
Yeah.
Shvetchnikov, I think.
Shvetchnikov?
Think of like it's a Jewish guy who's got like something on, like a schmutz, you know, is on like someone's shoulders. Shvetchnikov.
I think
it's Shvetchnikov.
It looks like the two of them are kind of going back and forth, checking each other, and it seems like the kid doesn't stop.
That's pretty typical. See, I think that's when the kid instigates it. I think the kid, they're hitting each other. I think the kid comes in and he just gives, he goes, because it looks like the kid is the one that says something first, and he goes, basically, you want to go? And then Ovechkin goes, all right, you want to go? But then Ovechkin drops the gloves first, which I think is where Rod Brind'Amour is like the most irritated regarding, he's like, well, Ovechkin dropped the gloves first. And I was like, well, he could, okay, he's faster than the other kid.
Well, I mean, he asked the kid too, and the kid said, yeah, let's go.
And okay, but like, this dude's not very big, so why is he going after Ovechkin?
I know.
Like, if you're looking at it and you go, hold on, you're, no. You, Christian Juice, you want to go? You know, somewhere you're like, which Juice needs to have a better game next go round. But
oh, we're gonna talk about him. We're gonna talk about him in a little bit. Don't worry.
So no, Svechnikov. I hope I'm saying his name right. You know, it looks like he's not gonna be playing on Thursday. Brendan Moore came out today and said that. I mean, he doesn't expect
him to play. He may not be back for the rest of this series. To be honest, I mean that was.
I think he'll be back Saturday.
I don't think so because I mean, yeah, that hit from Ovi was.
What time is the game on Saturday?
They don't know yet. They're not saying yet, which is really annoying. But yeah, Svechnikov, he gets hit in the face and then he falls and hits his head on the ice and he's down on the ice for a long time. You could tell he didn't know where he was.
He was definitely out. Cold.
He was out cold. He was crawling on the ice. He couldn't make it down the hallway by himself. That dude was not. I bet you he has no memory of that fight whatsoever. I don't expect him in game 5, 6, 7, or you know, anytime soon. That's a bad concussion right there. I don't understand why you would go after Ovi. Maybe he got a little crazy because of the crowd or whatever, but Ovechkin's not known to fight. I mean, his last fight was in 2010 against the Rangers, right?
Sounds about right.
Ovi can lay some haymakers. Even the UFC tweeted about it, and I was shocked. I was listening to it again on the radio. I've been in my car a lot recently, so I was driving home from work, and to hear that Ovechkin was the one fighting, I mean, made no sense. And here's the other thing. They're saying Ovi started it, Ovi did this. I don't believe that, because Ovechkin knows this is a playoff game. He knows how important it is. Hopefully, not the way he played last night, doesn't really show it. But there's no way Ovi wants to be in that penalty box for 5 minutes. Zero chance of that.
I don't know how much that necessarily would matter.
Right after that happened, they got another penalty, and Ovi wasn't there to be on the power play. He had to sit in the box for 5 minutes. Yeah, that's a lot of talent, and to be sitting in the penalty box and not be on the ice.
No, but the way they played last night, I don't think it would have mattered.
Sure, but still,
because they were playing like garbage, but. No, I think the kid started it because he was trying to, you know, he had a lot of energy. I'm sure the emotions were getting the better of him, and he wasn't happy with the way Ovechkin may have hit him back or whatever it was. They were probably talking trash to one another, and it looks like the kid asked him, you want to go? And he was like, all right, let's go. And then they dropped the gloves. Like, I don't imagine it's a long conversation where you're like, would you like to fight? Well, let me think about this. Yes, I would like to fight. Okay, do you think we should start now? Yes, I think we should start the fight now. Okay, ready to drop your gloves? On three. No, you want to go? Yeah, let's go. Gloves go down. And the fact that Ovechkin drops his gloves first is irrelevant. The kid doesn't have to drop his gloves, in which case now you have a penalty just against Ovechkin. His team goes on the power play.
It's not like
he didn't have a chance to throw any punches. He did throw a bunch of punches.
Yeah.
Ovechkins are the ones who landed, and down goes the kid.
You see him. You see the kid nod. And that is Ovi saying, do you really want to do this? Yes. Okay, then. And I was waiting
for Matt Bradley to come running in or skating in and like jump into the fight before Ovechkin has a chance.
I think everyone was on the bench going, does Ovi know he's fighting right now?
Yo, playoffs, man. What are you doing?
All right. So the other player, like we alluded to just a little bit ago, we have to talk about Christian Juice. He has not had a good series. Not just last game, but the entire series. I mean, yes, the last game, that first goal kind of happened because of Christian Juice not being where he should be. But game two, he was limited to like 5 minutes of ice time. Is there any chance going forward we're going to see Singenthaler out on the ice instead of Juice? Because this it's the playoffs. You don't have time to adjust your game. You're either on or you're not. And Juice, for these three games, he has not been on his game.
No, he's definitely had his struggles. There's no question there. And the team just needs to look at it in terms of, does it make sense to bring in a kid, or do you give him an opportunity do you give him an opportunity to up his game? You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean if you take him out, things are going to get better. Singenthaler may struggle just as well. So it's, you're kind of looking at it in terms of which guy really gives you a better chance.
I mean, last night we saw Holtby getting zero support from the defense. I mean, you said it's not just Kempney, but I think we are seeing the effects of not having Michael Kempney in the lineup right now. Christian Juice, while he has had a lot of playing time, he's shown he does have some limited skill sets here. And then you have Jensen, who's still getting new to the team, who is doing all right, but still, to not have Kempney there with Carlson, Carlson's been moved around. I think you are seeing the effects of no Kempney out there.
To some extent, because I think Juice is definitely the guy that's up in the press box. But I don't think that necessarily is the reason the Caps struggled last night. Because, yes, there may have been a reason that they got one or two goals, but it doesn't explain why, A, they got the other three, and, B, the Caps had zero. And one freaking shot on net. Can we jump back to the Ovechkin thing real quick? Because we forgot to talk about one part of that.
Okay.
Did you see the post from Instagram? From Svechnikov's, or how do you say his name, his brother?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even want to comment on that. That's a guy made a, he made a post on Instagram in his story, said 1-2, Freddie's coming for you. Guy's an AHLer. He doesn't really matter, to be honest.
So apparently, I'm looking at Isabel Kershuni on her Twitter. Okay, so it's from, I don't know if I'm going to say this guy's name right. Renard Lavoie, who is hockey reporter for TVA Sports. I don't know what that is. Someone in Canada. Anyways, he asked NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, what's the league reaction to Yevgeny Svechnikov's post on Instagram tagging Alex Ovechkin, which the post is something like 1-2, Freddy's coming for you.
Correct.
Which, so he's a murderer?
Well, he dressed up like Freddy Krueger for Halloween. So I think he's saying, hey, you mess with my brother, you're getting me, and I got knives for fingers.
So this guy, I guess, is a prospect in the Red Wing system. And his response, Bill Daly's response, was stupid post. There will be an appropriate response. So he's probably going to be in some trouble.
I highly doubt
it. For being a dum-dum.
I doubt it.
He might get a suspension or a fine. Because think about that. You don't want to set the precedence that players can threaten other players through social media.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not like he did actually tag Ovi in the, yeah, it's not good.
I think that's where he did himself in, is the fact that he tagged Ovechkin in the,
yeah, if he would have left that name out and just would have done 1-2, Freddy's coming for you, we wouldn't be talking about it right now.
Well, we would, because it would be like, well, he's talking about Ovechkin, but there's nothing there saying like, yeah, I was. He can easily just be like, oh, I was watching Freddy vs. Jason the other night.
Right, which I think is on Netflix now.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
That's my favorite one. I like Freddy vs. Jason. Saw that one in theaters.
Fair enough. I think I did too. Is that back when we were in high school?
They're going to be remaking both of those too, since Halloween hits so big in October. Both of them are getting a remake.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. All right, so what else should we cover in Caps world? Before I say that, they have at least two more games left. What do the Caps have to do besides, shoot the freaking puck to make sure that they end this series against Carolina with a way to move on?
Got to play more physical, got to get the puck on net, and got to crash the net looking for rebounds. Mrazek is not the second coming of, Dominic Hasek. This is not a guy, he's a good goalie, obviously. He's playing in the playoffs, so he's got to be halfway decent. But you got to make life a little more difficult for him, and last night it wasn't that difficult.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting Halak'd or anything like that.
They're beating themselves right now.
Yeah, they really are. It is the Caps.
Did not take away from Carolina. Carolina played a very good game last night, but they did not play a 5-0 whooping.
Not yet. Not even close.
Last night. Even if the Caps played well, there's a good chance they still wouldn't have won that game, but it would have been respectable.
Carolina gave up back-to-back penalties at the start of the third, and the Caps did zero with it.
Their power play was complete garbage.
Absolutely garbage. Where's Yevgeny
Kuznetsov?
Where's Yevgeny Kuznetsov in this series? We have barely talked about him in any way. where is his game? He struggled throughout the regular season.
I mean, it's only been three games.
He's not getting off that easy.
Get him, Brandon.
You know, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh, their playoff hopes could be diminished within the next 2 days. So tonight, really, if you're thinking about it, if you are listening to this, you probably know if they made it past Columbus or the Islanders right now, and we don't yet. So, but I mean, their hopes could be over right now. The Capitals could be up 3-0 against Carolina, and they just took a day off. That's the thing I think annoys me the most, is this game could have really set the bar of being like, you're not coming back. Now they've given Carolina hope. There's a lot that can go on hope. I mean, revolutions start on hope. That was from Star Wars.
You are such a dork.
Thank you.
Other Caps news. Caps recalled Ilya Samsonov. Then they sent him back down to Hershey for the start of their playoff run. And recalled Vitek Vanacek to be their third goalie. And I think then the Hershey recalled Adam Morrison. So then Stingrays had to sign someone to a PTO.
What's good?
So a couple of moves, no big deal.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see anybody but Holtby and Nett. I was a little surprised that they didn't put Copley in there just to end out the third period in game three.
Nah, I don't know if you want to give Carolina that extra little bit of like, you made our Stanley Cup winning goalie leave.
Maybe. I don't know. I was like, yeah, you know, maybe we'll see him. Who knows? All right. Is that everything for Caps World?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. We're going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are here to talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, Hershey wrapped up their season going 3-0 with 2 wins over Hartford and 1 over Utica. The Bears wrapped up their regular season 3rd in the Atlantic Division with 94 points and a record of 43-25-8. They start their playoff run with games 1 and 2 on Friday and Saturday. They're up against Bridgeport, followed up with game 3 at the Giants Center on Tuesday. In other Bears news, the Caps sent forward Riley Sutter to the Bears from the WHL's Everett Silver Tips. He scored 41 points in 38 games, which I think I read was 5th on the team in points. Sutter was the 3rd-round pick of the Caps in 2018. Let's go down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays started their playoff run last week in Orlando, shutting them out in game 1, but a loss in game 2 tied it up. It comes back to the North Charleston Coliseum for the next 3 games, starting this Wednesday for game 3, game 4 on Friday, with game 5 on Saturday, before, if necessary, they head back to Orlando for game 6 on Monday, and then game 7 next Wednesday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Lots of playoff hopes here in the Capitals organization. Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, both of them staying alive, doing their thing.
Go for a trifecta.
I thought I read somewhere that the Hershey Bears were in last place at the end of January, and they've just won so much to end up on 3rd is like unheard of in the AHL. They really did a great job turning their season around.
I think they were last placed in the division at like the All-Star break or something. Something right around, you know, mid to late January. And then they're one on that ridiculous win streak.
Absolutely amazing stuff. So go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. So much going on. The NHL is keeping you busy every night of the week with all these crazy games. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, Philly didn't waste any time in looking for a new head coach as they hired former Vancouver and Ranger head coach Alain Vigneault. LA announced today that they hired former San Jose and Edmonton head coach Todd McClellan. So everyone's just kind of like changing jobs, it appears to be, or changing teams, I should say. Congratulations to Colorado rookie Cale Makar. I don't really know. He was playing in the NCAA championship on Saturday, and then he scored in his NHL debut in the playoffs, no less, Monday night. The defenseman, who grew up in Calgary and I guess was a Flames fan, scored against them. So I have to imagine that would have been a little awkward, but also like super exciting for the kids. So that guy is a name to keep an eye on. Now, just because it's the playoffs doesn't mean that players aren't acting poorly. So we're going to start with some suspension news, as Toronto's Nazem Kadri was suspended for the rest of the first round after cross-checking Boston forward Jake DeBrusque. Kadri has a history of being an idiot, and this was a well-deserved suspension. Tampa Bay forward Nikita Kucherov was suspended for one game for boarding Columbus defenseman Marcus Nutavara, and I feel like he should have gotten more than one. And San Jose forward Joe Thornton was suspended for one game for an illegal check to the head of Vegas forward Tomas Nosek. And finally, let's check into where everyone is in the playoffs. In the East, we're going to start there this time. Columbus is up 3-0 against Tampa.
Insane.
Holy crap.
Insane.
I thought Tampa put up a fight, but that is, I mean, if they end up losing this thing in a sweep, that is a bigger bust. That is a bigger letdown than I think the Caps ever had.
I think, I believe it was Steven Wino who said that if the Tampa Bay Lightning were to get shut out, it would be the first time in NHL history a President Trophy winner was shut out in the opening round.
We got the Caps got embarrassed by Montreal, but at least they won a couple of those games.
Yeah, exactly.
This is pretty bad.
Everyone picked Tampa Bay. So many NHL analysts on the network picked Tampa Bay, and they said, I just don't see anybody being able to beat this team.
Columbus said, oh, really?
Times. Yeah. Insane that they've gotten nothing done. I mean, what is going on in Tampa Bay?
Nothing is going on in Tampa Bay. That's the problem.
I think they saw past Columbus, like the Caps did against Toronto a couple years ago. I think
that's an excuse for game one, but the rest of it, that's there's no excuse.
Yeah, I mean, this is just crazy. I can't wait to watch game four.
What is it, tonight, tomorrow?
I think it's tonight, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be interesting. Let's go to Toronto, where they're up 2-1 on Boston, and the Islanders are up 3-0 against Pittsburgh. That's another one I didn't see coming. Pittsburgh, a little bit of trouble over there. Let's go over to the West, where Vegas is up 2-1 against San Jose. It's all 2-1s, by the way. This is weird. Colorado's up 2-1 against Calgary. St. Louis is up 2-1 against Winnipeg. And Nashville is up 2-1 against Dallas. That's the news from the past week in the NHL. Now I'm going to kick it over to you, Brandon, with some news and some chat about the Women's World Cup of, what's it called again?
It's just the World Championship.
World Championship. Dang it. I was like, right as I started, I was like, which one is it?
It's weird to say Women's Worlds. Because like,
yeah, it's grammatically, it sounds wrong.
Yeah, it does sound wrong. But Team USA was able to come away. This is now their fifth title in a row. They have won the world championship again. But what a controversial finish! If you haven't seen this, put us on pause. Go check out the game changing goal that happened. So it was U.S. versus Finland.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, it was overtime. The Finns get a goal. Everybody's going crazy. It was their first time getting any kind of medal, I believe, for the women's world championship. So they're just going absolutely
world's championship.
They're going ballistic. There's helmets everywhere. There's gloves everywhere. And then the ref says, no, we're going to put this under review. They went over 12 minutes discussing whether or not this was a goal or not. And it turns out they said no goal. So then the overtime ends and they go to a shootout. In a championship game.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
Don't do the shootout then. Don't have it end in a shootout. Keep playing. But anyway, the U.S. came out with a win. Very controversial, though. I don't know if it – I guess it's kind of bittersweet. We're Americans, so, I mean, we're happy to see the U.S. win. But you and I were talking about it before the show. What's your take on this no goal? Was it a goal? Was it not a goal?
I think it's goaltender interference.
Why is that?
Because the player... Hang on, I have to load it again to make sure I'm talking about it correctly. But I remember you sent it to me earlier, and I have to find it now. So the player that comes up the ice... Hang on, I'm going to blow it on YouTube. It's easier for me to talk about it. So the player that's coming up the ice... Wait, is the sound down? Okay, good. Ah, there's an advertisement. Get out of here. No, insurance company. I don't care. Okay. Oh, God. Why is it 10 seconds? Why isn't it 5? Okay. So the Finnish goalie puts it around. First of all, the winger that comes over to stop the Finnish player, like, that was terrible. But anyways, so she comes up, makes a nice play. She, all right. Oh, God. How do you do this in slow motion? That would have made this so much easier. Oh, I got back too far. This is great. Great podcasting.
Really, right, really good stuff.
It's doing great stuff. No, so the first player, number 6, right, makes a decent move, not the best shot, then goes, and the American goalie is going to either hit the puck away or grab it, and that player hits the goalie in the arm, thus taking her out of play from being able to get to the puck. The other Finnish player comes in and is like, well, there's a wide open net. That's easy for me to score. If the goaltender was not interfered upon, she's making a play on the puck. It's goaltender interference. She's still in the crease when the Finnish player hits her. It's goaltender interference, no goal.
But it looked like the goalie was outside the goal crease. Does that make a difference to you?
Okay, so if the goalie was outside the goal crease, that, you know, then it's a goal. But I don't think she is. I'm loading it up again.
See,
like,
to me,
I closed it.
To me, it looks like a good goal because it looks like the American goaltender is out.
Because you hate America.
it looks like she is outside the crease.
No, she is. The puck is outside the crease and she's coming out of the crease. But when it happens, both leg pads, her knees and down, are all still in the crease. She is taken away from being able to make a play on the other player's. So on the second Finnish player shot.
If she's in the crease, but the play is outside the crease, doesn't that make her...
All right, well, let me ask this question. So the goalie comes out to make a play, right?
Right.
To hit the behind the net, whatever it might be. And I'm the other team's forward. Am I allowed to... Because players do this all the time. Am I allowed to sort of body check / hold that person there?
You're not supposed to.
I don't care what I'm supposed to do. Am I going to get, you know, because anyone's got a wide open net. At that point, we're playing like that old Wayne Gretzky N64 game where you could just hit everybody whenever you want to. That is 100% goaltender interference. If the U.S. had won on that and they didn't call goaltender interference, I'd be like, that's BS. Because the goalie had absolutely no chance of being able to make a play. And not because it was a great play by the Finnish player, but because the other woman, hit her.
To me, it looks like a good goal. I feel like the Finns should have won gold. I don't know. Does it look like goaltender interference? Yes. I don't think it does because she's out of the crease. You're saying you see...
No, she's not. Dude, watch it again.
You're saying you see a leg in the crease? I don't.
I see both legs. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can pause it.
But the play is outside the crease. So to me...
Irrelevant.
Fair game. So...
Okay, hold on. So... Goalie takes a shot. Forward takes a shot. Goalie reaches out of the crease with the glove to catch the puck. Catches the puck. Other player punches the goalie's glove, knocking the puck down, and then they score. Is that a good goal?
I think that's a good goal.
Okay, but no, that doesn't count. I don't know. Would that count? Because
right.
The whistle hasn't blown.
Right. Whistle did not blow.
No, but the different. Okay, so this is a bad example because the difference is the goaltender has been interfered with and is not allowed to make a play. So look at.
So the goaltender is completely
untouchable. Go to the link you sent me. Look at no. I'm all kind of. That's basically what the NHL has become. The goaltender and the quarterback in football are kind of the same thing. So look at the 14-second mark. Go to 14 seconds. Look, the goalie is more or less all of her is in the crease, right? And then at 15 seconds, she's actually starting to play. It looks like she's I don't know what she's trying to. She's either trying to play the puck to the defenseman, which would have been stupid, but either way. Number 6 is just trying to blow her up. And that's where I'm like goaltender interference because the goalie had absolutely no chance to make a play on the second shot.
And I'm looking at this again.
Also, I find it kind of funny that the Finnish player who scored, she couldn't get her helmet off for a second. No, it's not. It's one of the other ones that comes in. You can see she like goes to take it off. She's like, oh, crap, there's another strap.
I don't know. If in this video, if you look around 15 seconds, it looks like she hits the goalie when the goalie is outside the crease from this angle. I mean, I don't know. To me, it should have been a good goal. The Finn should have won. But
well, see, no, yes, she well, no, she hits her, but she brings her way out of the crease. See, I still think it's goaltender interference because the goalie has not had a chance to reset and be able to make a save. And it's not because they got knocked out by their own player. Like the Finnish player totally comes in and is like, bye, and takes her completely out of it.
I don't know.
No goal.
No goal, according to Coach Dan. And then I think it's weird that, all right, so if she did interfere, then that player should have been put in the penalty box and was not penalized for it. So if it's goalie interference, where's the penalty?
I don't know. I'm not the referee.
All right. I mean, that's it, though. I mean, if you get a chance, check it out on YouTube. It's a controversy. Let us know what you think. To me, I think the Finns should have won gold, but the world championship is back with the U.S. So it's the way it is. Unfortunately for the Finns, for the U.S. women's, they had a really good tournament, and they came away with the championship again. So I don't know. I think good goal. Coach Dan, no goal. So
no goal.
Let's see. So anything else we should cover for this episode?
Now let's wrap it up. I got to go make dinner.
Yeah, me too. All right, so that's it for the show this week. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff and how that wasn't a goal. Actually, you want to find that on Twitter because I hadn't seen it until Brandon sent it to me. I talk all kinds of other things. Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, maybe skin stuff if they decide to stop being a horribly run organization by horrible people. And that only includes people in the front office and only those people that are actually leading the front office. Hashtag Bruce Allen out. Or fire Bruce Allen. That's what I meant to say. But hey, if you've enjoyed this show, and what are you doing?
I have a cat.
Is Brandon? Oh, there's a cat. There's a cat here now. Hey, if you like cats, go ahead and tell Brandon at our Facebook Facebook page. There it is at facebook.com/whatthepuckpods, where you find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all other kinds of things related to the Washington Capitals and hopefully their run for back to back. But that's at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they've enjoyed this show, where else can they find shows that you may partake in?
So go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. You can also check out my other podcast, The Call. The NFL schedule is being released on Wednesday at 8 p.m. And on The Call Facebook page, we're going to do a Facebook Live as the schedule comes out. You'll be getting our live instant reactions to that. So make sure you go over to Facebook, like us over there. Like Coach Dan said, What the Puck has a Facebook, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. We are also on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again on Thursday, April 18th. Capitals are staying in North Carolina, hanging out against the Hurricanes. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Saturday, the Caps are up against Carolina back in D.C. The show time is not available at this point, so that is TBD. We'll let you know on our social media accounts. And if needed, the Caps will be playing the Carolina Hurricanes back in Carolina on Monday the 22nd. I would assume 7:30 would be the start time for that game, but we don't know yet. So, Coach Dan, by the time we talk again, will we be talking about a series being over? Will we be talking about a series about to come to a conclusion? Who will be leading? Who will be the winner? Tell me what you think will happen by the time we talk again next Tuesday.
Well, I can tell you that Tampa Bay's in trouble because they're down 2-1 after the first period.
Wow.
Penguins and Islanders are currently tied with 9:42 to go in the first, according to Twitter. And I'm hoping that we'll be talking about the next round for the Capitals next week.
I hope so as well. You know, I still think this is a very winnable series. Capitals just got to get their heads out of their butts. Agreed?
I'm going to start.
All right. Well, that's it for the show this week. Thank you all so much for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.